heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And this is the beginning of a brand new month. It's hard for me to imagine that we are now at the beginning of the third month of the year. It's astounding, quite frankly. In fact, it's astounding that we're in the year 2018, but time marches on. And at the beginning of a brand new month, there's a brand new resource that I want to commend to your attention. It is available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me for this resource by simply writing to Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI, the new resource, the resource of this month, Union with Christ, the way to know and enjoy God. Timothy Keller says this is simply the best book for lay people on the subject. And John Ortberg says, I'm trying to remember the last time I was more excited about a new book or a new author. Rankin Wilborn brings a remarkable flair for writing and a great breadth and depth of learning to the most important subject in the world. What is the true and the sufficient destiny for human life? And this book is a very well-written book. I was thinking as I was reading through this book for the very first time, that it sort of drags you through it bit by bit. You never want to give up on it. And a lot of books I don't finish. This book I finished, read it cover to cover, and I think it is complemented by another book, which is one of my favorites. You can also get this book for your support of the ministry this month. It's titled The Spirit of the Disciplines. It is a classic. It is written by Dallas Willard. If you have not read this book, it is an absolute must for every Christian library. And I think it's particularly apropos as we are preparing to celebrate Holy Week. This is the apex of the Christian calendar, something that all of us ought to be very, very excited about. Because if Christ has not risen, our faith is futile, says Paul. We are still in our sins, and then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has risen indeed, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And that is the pivotal point in human history. It is the point that took scared and scattered disciples and transformed them into lions of the faith, willing to face the tyrant's brandished steel. The lion's gore remained the fires of 1,000 deaths. For Christ is risen, and we can know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that we will rise as well, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And that is the game changer that alone is sufficient to transform the 21st century, a century captive to the corrosive impact of the isms of our generation. You know, materialism and secularism, atheism and scientism, hedonism, narcissism, with all their creepy permutations. Think abortion or same-sex sexuality, gender fluidity, transgenderism, and the slippery sexual revolution that gave birth to all these isms. Easter is the quintessential antidote. It is the answer. An answer by which we may say he is risen. He is risen indeed. Much more I'll say about the resources of the month that you can find on the web at equip.org later on in the broadcast. The number to dial to get your questions answered live on the broadcast today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go to the phone lines and talk to Moses. He's calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and listening on CHRB. Hi, Moses.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I got a question about meditation and maybe mindfulness. I don't even know if they're synonymous, but, you know, I was reading the Bible, Hank. Psalm chapter 1 says that, you know, we should delight in the Lord, and that, you know, there's even another passage that I love. Psalm 104:34 talks about how our meditation should be sweet in the Lord. But the world speaks about a different type, and I want you to expand on that, because should I be concerned about the meditation that the world talks about?
Well, yeah, I think there's a big difference between the meditation that is worldly and the meditation that is biblical, and I think you sort of touched on that. Meditation from a biblical perspective is meditation upon the Word of God, and you see that in particular delineated by the Psalms. Meditation from a worldly standpoint or a non-Christian standpoint in all its various permutations typically has to do with the stamping out of self and the emptying of your mind of coherent thought, because coherent thought is seen to be the obstacle to enlightenment. So there are many, many people that are seeking to get us into altered states of consciousness so that we lose any inhibition and we can stamp out the self. And this is, of course, part and parcel of Buddhist meditation, which is a historical offshoot of Hinduism. The idea is to find refuge in the Buddha's form of meditation, to find refuge in the community of Buddhist priests who practice this kind of meditation and guide devotees along a path to enlightenment. Of course, in Buddhism, there's an eightfold path, but the idea is that if you follow the path through many incarnations, you can erase karmic debt, but more than that, achieve nirvanic realization of no self, and therefore attain to liberation from suffering and escape the endless cycle of life and death. This is, of course, inextricably bound together with an Eastern worldview of reincarnation. So altered states of consciousness, I mean, this is the idea to stamp out the self, to let go of the self, become one with nirvana. And there are many different ways in which that has permeated Western civilization, Western culture. And you think about back in 1893, I think it was, where in Chicago, Buddhists had arrived from the East, and they were there in Chicago to attend the inaugural World's Parliament of Religion. And their contingent was sizable, but at the time they were vastly outnumbered by Bible believers from the West. But 100 years later, at the centennial celebration of that original parliament, Buddhists actually began to outnumber Baptists, and saffron robes were more common than Christian clerical clothing. And so you see the impact of Buddhism, and therefore I think it's very important to grasp basic Buddhist beliefs and see how they have impacted even the Christian subculture.
All right, thank you so much, and it's what I thought. You know, rather than going after secular ideas, I'd rather just meditate in the Word and allow the Word, you know, to go inside my life and for me to act on it, you know, and just live out the Word. Whatever God wants me to do, I think I'll be successful if I do that.
You cannot go wrong. I mean, that's the thing that we're called to do, to meditate upon the Word of God day and night. And it is something that I oftentimes do late at night. I meditate upon the Word of God, and that Word becomes transformative in our lives. I want to say something about the books that we are making available all this month, since it's the first day of the month. If you have agonized over the decline of Christianity in the West, well, you're not alone. I've done that quite regularly and sometimes late at night. When you consider the astonishing influence of Christianity over the span of two millennia, not just in the West, but all over the world, it's just hard to simply say, well, whatever happens to the West, it happens to the West. A lot of good things are happening in the East. You know, there's this global resurgence of Christianity in the global South, so I'm not that worried about the West. We ought to be worried about the West. And we ought to be asking what accounts for the downward trend of Western culture. Of course, we live not in the pages of the Bible, with respect to the last call, not meditating upon the Word of God, but we live in the shadow of the Bible. And so we have to ask questions and not simply come up with simplistic answers to those questions, because if we have simplistic answers, we ought to be very skeptical about those answers. It's time that we consider some poignant questions. You know, I talked about those isms, secularism and materialism and scientism and hedonism and the like. They all have creepy permutations, but they are advancing because the only truly effective resistance has not been considered in sufficient fashion. And this is why I'm excited about the resources this month. What if our resistance to current spiritual and cultural decay has proven to be ineffective because, well, it wasn't particularly Christian. We might have thought it was, but it really wasn't. What if the transformational power of the gospel has been diluted to the point of impotence because we've unknowingly embraced a shallow counterfeit? These are very scary questions to ponder, and yet these are questions that must be asked. After all, if the power of the gospel has fundamentally altered the course of Western civilization, to what do we owe the current cultural captivity that we're facing? Is it that the gospel has simply met its mash, and then we have to capitulate because it's met its match to the forces of postmodern secularity? Well, I don't think we ought to entertain that. I think we need to seriously question whether millions of Christians have encountered the source of life that is life indeed instead. In other words, has our focus been watered down by all kinds of the trappings of Christianity that don't really change us? In John 15, Jesus likens your relationship with him to that of branches to a vine. It's living, it's organic, and it's dependent on a source outside of you to sustain you. Grafted into the vine, your very nature begins to change. Why? Because the lifeblood of another flows within you and gives you life. And that is the essence of the resource that I was talking about at the opening of the broadcast. I think you will find it to be transformational. It is the resource, again, of the month, available for those who support us. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, but it is available for those who are standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. It's titled Union with Christ, subtitled The Way to Know and Enjoy God, and it puts its finger squarely on one of the most crucial issues of the day. Lurking in the book's subtitle is my pivotal concern, which is that while millions of Christians may know a fair amount about God, they don't adequately know Him. And there's a difference between knowing and knowing in this sense. In short, our spiritual walk often remains little more than a cold intellectual transaction as opposed to an ongoing transformational reality. It is impossible to live Christianly without thinking Christianly, but it's not enough to merely think Christianly. What I would encourage you to do is be grounded daily in experiential and ever-deepening union with the crucified, risen, and ascended Christ. If you're serious about being change agents for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot transform anything unless we ourselves are being transformed. Again, the resource you will find transformational, inspirational, motivational, and you will read about something that is the most important doctrine you've likely never heard of. So check it out on the web, equip.org, and we'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Nothing is more basic or central to knowing and enjoying God than union with Christ. It's what the Bible is all about. It's the very heart of the Christian faith and what makes the gospel good news. Yet, if you asked most people today, what is the gospel, union with Christ is likely not what springs to mind. Something is terribly amiss. Be sure to read Rankin Wilborn's essential book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilborn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilborn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. In his remarkable book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God, Pastor Rankin Wilburn writes, "Of all the good news the gospel brings, the greatest, and indeed the door to all the rest, is that you can be united to Christ. And if Jesus has joined his life to yours, then you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. But unless you are united to him, all that he has done for you remains useless and of no value to you." To receive your copy of Union with Christ, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Do remember that we're constantly finding great resources for you. They are checked out very carefully by our research staff. I read the books myself. And so over the years, you can find so many resources on the web at equip.org that have been carefully checked out. So it's a safe zone. You can know that the books that we recommend have, as it were, a good housekeeping seal of approval from the staff of the Christian Research Institute. So make sure you check out our resources on the web at equip.org. And also remember that when you join CRI's support team, I'd be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. Check that out again on the web at equip.org, or simply pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants. The number to dial, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We're going to go right back to the phone calls. 888-ASK-HANK. Next up is Dennis, listening in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, excellent. It's nice here, except for getting snow.
That's one of the most beautiful places in the world, by the way. I love your city.
Oh, excellent. So, Hank, I'm troubled by something I can't... I hope you can help me with. It's got to do with Genesis and the fact that the NIV version describes the animals pre-fall, so before the fall, as wild animals. And when I read the King James Version and the New King James Version, it omits wild animals. It doesn't say anything about animals. The reason I'm asking this question is because the connotation for wild animals in the Bible is not very good. It usually describes as gone astray or even ferocious. The wild olive branch is not a good thing. So how can something be not good and wild pre-fall, and why does the NIV version use this word wild? I know the transcripts are different, but why did they insert that wild? I'd like to turn that over to you and appreciate your answer. Thank you.
You got it. And when you say the manuscript evidence or allude to the manuscript evidence, the older, most reliable manuscripts are what we typically prefer. But what the science of textual criticism does, it takes into consideration a wide variety of manuscripts. All of the manuscripts have problems. They all have errors. They're not substantial errors, but they don't have the same errors. And therefore, by comparing one manuscript with another, you can get back to the autographer or to the original. But anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent, but you mentioned it, so I thought I'd elaborate on it just a little bit. But you mentioned that the KJV does not mention this, or the NKJV, only the NIV, but that's not necessarily true. In fact, the NKJV, the New King James Version, and I did a legacy study Bible in the New King James Version, so I'm familiar with this. They do say that God made the wild animals of the earth according to their kind, the cattle according to their kind, and all the creeping things on earth according to their kind. And I think it is proper to say wild animals in that these animals have most certainly not been domesticated. So I think that's an appropriate way of referring to the animals in this particular juncture of the biblical text. There are a couple of things that I want to talk about as well, having to do with Facebook questions, and one of them comes from Michelle Smith, who says, "I have a very bad problem. I was saved 5 years ago and Baptist, and I try so hard not to smoke cigarettes, but I mess up every single day. I try my best to live right and do what God says, but I'm having so much trouble with cigarettes. Am I still saved?" An important question because of the last phrase or the last question, am I still saved? Well, let me say a few things about this, and I've had some intimate contact with cigarettes over the last few weeks. I was in Greece, and you go to the cafes in Greece, and everybody's smoking cigarettes. You go to a taxi cab, and they're smoking cigarettes. Cigarettes are consumed at a frightening rate in countries like Greece, other European countries that I've been over the last few years. So cigarettes are still a huge problem, although they're minimally used by comparison in the United States of America. Still used, but minimally by comparison at least. So what I would say about cigarettes is that they're self-evidently harmful to the temple of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we ought to think very, very carefully and clearly about whether we want to engage in something that's going to curtail our usefulness for Christ. And saying that, I'm not in any way suggesting that if you smoke cigarettes or you're addicted to cigarettes, you can't go to heaven. You might even get there faster. But we ought to take these kinds of practices seriously because we take seriously the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has given us a temple. There are no do-overs. We only have one of them. And we have to be good stewards of the temple of the Holy Spirit. But don't for a moment think that because you're addicted to something that you're not going to go to heaven. What you ought to do is find ways of breaking the addiction. And there are a lot of ways of doing that. I'm not an expert on the ways of doing that because I've never been addicted to cigarettes. But addictions are enslaving. We got to get rid of anything that impedes one's ability to be self-controlled, because a fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And you lose self-control with addictions, particularly the addiction to nicotine. It's an incredibly difficult circumstance, but I don't want you to feel in any way, Michelle, that because you have this addiction that you're not going to go to heaven. Seek out remedies for the addiction. And pray that the Lord will help you break those bonds. I have had my own addictions. I had an addiction to a particular medication. I used it to sleep. And I had to find ways to break the addiction to that medication. The medication wasn't really bad for me, I don't think, but I still didn't want to be addicted to anything, so I broke the addiction to that particular medication. So there are addictions that we form as we go through life, and I think we have to do all we can to try to free ourselves of those addictions. Another Facebook question by Lori is about her daughter, who is seriously dating a young man who goes to a oneness or non-Trinitarian church. His family stems from the United Pentecostal Church, and it is unlikely that he's going to break away from it. How concerned should we be as parents? I would say you ought to be very, very concerned. First and foremost, because the person that your daughter is dating, if he's serious about his United Pentecostal experience, he won't think you're really a Christian unless you submit to the practices of the United Pentecostal Church. And those practices are daunting. They have a litany of legalistic prescriptions. And that includes the test of rebaptism by their formula with evidence of speaking in tongues. No tongues, no salvation. And you can imagine that this has placed tremendous socio-psychological pressure on adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues, because those who do not speak in tongues are, well, they're thought to be lacking in faith or even to be entirely unrepentant. Of course, in sharp distinction, the Bible relates baptism in the Spirit to empowering for service. rather than as evidence for salvation. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth." So the disciples were not still awaiting salvation. Rather, they awaited a special anointing of the Holy Spirit that would serve as evidence that their evangelistic message was not of men, but rather of God. I think this is one other thing that I want to focus in on in response to this question, and that is the belief in United Pentecostal Church that one must be baptized only in the name of Jesus. And before I go on, let me make a clear distinction between Pentecostalism and what I'm talking about here. Now, they're not the same. In fact, Pentecostalism was the first to come out against this oneness, non-Trinitarian dogma. But the belief that one must be baptized only in the name of Jesus has led the oneness Pentecostals to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold, as I've pointed out many times in the Bible Instrument broadcast, they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but rather they hold to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. In fact, according to oneness Pentecostalism, the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan, polytheistic philosophy. But that, of course, is dead wrong. The Trinity is neither pagan, nor is it pagan philosophy. Rather, the doctrine is biblically based. Scripture clearly reveals personal self-distinctions within the Godhead. And therefore, we read of the Father saying of the Son, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." And the Son saying of the Father, "I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Moreover, the very fact that Jesus prayed to the Father demonstrates that Jesus cannot be the Father. While I'm frequently told by oneness adherents that this is explained by the notion that Jesus' human nature prays to his divine nature, this is clearly not the case. Natures can't pray. Only persons can pray. So getting back to the question once again, of whether or not you ought to be concerned, I would say absolutely you need to be concerned, and young people ought not, as Christians, to be involved in missionary dating. This is something that is difficult on a lot of levels because your emotions are involved and you don't think rationally anymore, and you want something very, very badly and you don't think about the consequences. But if the cart is pulled by two different animals, if you're unyoked by way of the metaphor, the cart ultimately is destroyed in the process. And that's what happens oftentimes to people who are unequally yoked in marriage. It's a very, very difficult thing to deal with, particularly later on when you have children. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the Instant Break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Instrument broadcast, as well as the quote of the day. Do remember the number to dial to get your questions answered live, Monday through Friday at this time, 888 Ask Hank.
While millions of Christians may know a fair amount about God, they do not adequately know Him. Their spiritual walk remains little more than a cold intellectual assent to tidy packets of rational propositions, rather than a daily transformational experience of Christ that fuels a joyful life and dynamic witness. If this describes your situation, be sure to read Pastor Rankin Wilburn's remarkable book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy of Union with Christ, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilborn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. In the book Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn writes, "Our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our heads and our hearts, or between our beliefs and our experiences?" Don't miss Pastor Wilburn's Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from the book that I was talking about at the beginning of the broadcast. It is our resource of the month titled Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God, the author Rankin Wilburn, who writes, "Of all the good news the gospel brings, the greatest, and indeed the door to all the rest, is that you can be united to Christ. It's really possible. Union with Christ is not an abstract idea. It is a powerful reality. And if Jesus has joined His life to yours, then you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. But unless you are united to Him, all that He has done for you remains useless and of no value to you. You know, our lives in the present have been created for union and communion with God. We have been made to have fellowship in the Trinity. And this is one of the most powerful ideas within Christendom that most people seem blithely unaware of. This is the glorious reality that we can experience Christ in an intimate, intimate way. And again, it's why I'm so excited to bring you a book, actually from a very unlikely source, that grapples with this issue on a lay level. In other words, it's intimately accessible. And I mean intimately in that this is dealing with something that is intimate in an intimate way. Union with Christ, the way to know and enjoy God, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. It's for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, we need many of you to consider standing with a one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. This is a, well, it's a scary time if you think about it just on a human level. The attrition within the body of Christ presently is terrifying, quite frankly. And it's as though many people are walking by the graveyard and not willing to look at the dead. You know how people whistle when they walk by the graveyard? It's kind of what we're doing. We don't want to ponder the implications of a dying civilization. But civilizations do rise and fall. They are fragile. And if you look at Washington from the perspective of Capitol Hill, you see the monuments and you think, Washington, it is an eternal city. But if you go, as I did, to Athens and you view the Parthenon, you see the bleached bones of bygone kings. You see ruin and destruction. You see a city that stood for 2,000 years, now in ruin. The same thing when you think about Rome. It was considered to be the eternal city. And yet, it is a civilization that was destroyed. So all civilization is essentially as fragile as a newspaper. And in the midst of a disintegrating civilization, you have been called to make a difference. It's one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about what we are presently doing with our digital media platforms. Digital media is the connective tissue of modern civilization, much like the Roman roads were at the time of Christ. I think back to the last Facebook YouTube Live I did just a week or so ago and immediately recognized that there were people in 20 different countries that identified themselves that were benefiting from the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So digital media platforms are extraordinarily important. You think about the journal and all its permutations seen in digital spheres. But added to digital media platforms, we cannot forget our responsibility as Christians to share the gospel and to make disciples. Jesus made it plain. He said that we are called to make disciples. We are to go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. It is our commission to make disciples, not converts, disciples. And not just disciples, reproducing disciple makers. We're thinking today about the 2 billion or more Christians on the planet. If you apply the Pareto principle, the 80-20 principle, and you only take 20% of them and say they are committed to church life, they are committed to the principles of the kingdom. They've experienced union with God. And you take just 20% of those 2 billion, and if each of them would lead one person to faith in Christ and into the life of the church, and you extrapolate that out through the process of spiritual multiplication, it would take less than 5 years to evangelize the world. So the question becomes, why don't we do it? I think all too often it is we have our health, we have our wealth, we have our altars, we have our churches, and we are at ease while the world perishes. You know, going back to whistling as you walk by the graveyard. The truth of the matter is, millennials are leaving the church in droves. If you're in a healthy, well-balanced church, a spiritual gymnasium, oftentimes that attrition is so alarming because people in the church are marrying outside the church, and the bar for the unbeliever seems too high to become part of the church life, and so the believer leaves the church with the unbeliever. Or you think about millennials that go off to college. There are varying statistics, but some 60% or more never return to the church. They're leaving the church. Where are they? What are we doing? I think in part the problem is that we don't make disciples because we're not energized by a power that is in us but not of us. We're working with all our energy as opposed to with all his energy. I'm always compelled by what Paul says. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that everyone may be made perfect in Christ. And then he says, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. We can struggle with our own energy, or as many are, just be on the sidelines, not struggling at all. Or we can struggle with all his energy, which so powerfully works in us. And really, that is why I'm so motivated at the beginning of this month to talk to you about these resources. You know, we provide resources because we want to equip you. And that's the purpose. We're grateful that you give, because the gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We ask you not to give to us, but through us. But in the process of giving, I want to equip you. And so again, we go to great pains to find resources that we find beneficial to the broad swath of Christianity in the West. I mean, it's where we're based, and these are the people, you, who are supporting this ministry and allowing us to minister not only in the East, but from East to West, from West to East, from North to South, from South to North. And this month, I am particularly exercised, maybe I should say excited, about the resources. Again, union with Christ, the way to know and enjoy God. It's eminently readable, and it talks about the enchanted reality that we can experience a union with Christ that allows us not only communion with God, but communion with others, and it empowers us to be a leavening force in the culture. And again, this month, I'm so excited to be bringing to your attention once again the classic, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Dallas Willard. He has run his course. He has finished the race. He has fought the good fight. He is, again, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But his legacy lives on, and I would say in particular in this book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. It is a convicting book, but it is a book that will inform you on how you can experience this union and communion with Christ that I'm talking about. You know, there is a spiritual gymnasium. You don't do it apart from the church. We need the body of Christ because it was within the body of Christ, within the spiritual gymnasium, that we receive the graces by which we can become, by grace, what God is by nature. We can never be what God is in the Godhead, but we can experience what it means to be partakers of the divine nature. All of this, once again, as a fervent appeal for you to not only get the resources, but to support this ministry all this month. We can't do this without you. We need you. So please consider joining CRI's monthly support team or supporting the ministry this month and receiving the resources. Check it out on the web, equip.org. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We will be right back here tomorrow with more of the broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or just visit online at equip.org.